appreciate you guys being here so, so much. I'm so excited because I really feel God repeating some themes. And you're going to hear a little more about that as we go along this morning. But the songs that we are singing, I didn't know the songs they'd chosen. The things that we've been hearing about, if you're a member of fellowship, the things that have been preached on lately, the direction that we're going this fall, God is working all those things together, and I'm so excited to dive into all of that with you. Real quickly, I want to introduce to you Ann Parkinson. Ann Parkinson, woohoo! If you have been around fellowship for any length of time, 5 minutes or 20 years, you have known Ann Parkinson. Ann has a way of finding people and getting to know them and loving them well. So I wanted you to see her face as well. Let me tell you a little bit more about myself. I think we have a family picture of my crew here. That's my crew. Starting on this side is Annie, our middle one. She is 16 and a junior in high school. And then in the middle is my oldest, Caroline. She is a freshman at Fayetteville this year, so you're probably going to get to hear some launching stories, good or bad, I'm not sure. Then that's my husband, Chuck, and we have been married for, I should have calculated this, 21 years. And then that's my youngest, Charlie, youngest but tallest of all of us. He is 14 and in the ninth grade. So that's my crew. I wanted you to get to see them, and our life is just what you think it would be right now, total chaos. I keep feeling like we're going to settle into the fall. Are you feeling that with me? It's not happening. It just still feels like chaos, but I love those kids, and you are going to get to hear more about them, again, good and bad. This should be entertaining. So over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at how love and discipline work together in our parenting. And I am really excited about this study because I am super practical. So I really love learning stuff that I can actually use. I'm not so much on just talking about ideas and kind of ambiguous stuff. I want to be able to use it. And this material that we're going to be teaching you this fall has been some of the most impactful, practical, useful, helpful information that I have learned over my years as a parent. But I want to give you a warning right out of the gate, because there's a danger to this study, and that is, unless we keep the right perspective, this study has the danger of just becoming sort of the Bible's do's and don'ts for parenting. And while the Bible is full of practical wisdom, like rules that actually work for our daily life, if that's what we reduce its value to, then we have totally missed the central message. And God's word becomes just this self-help book, how to live a better life. But we've completely missed the message that God is trying to communicate to us. So I want to remind all of us today that the purpose of learning all of this is not to just become smarter, more knowledgeable, wiser, better parents. The goal of this study, the goal of Bloom in general, the goal of the scripture is to point us back to our need for Jesus. And so as parents with our children that are following up behind us, that should be our goal as well, to point our kids to Jesus and to a relationship with him. And so that's really what I want to talk to you about today, the why behind discipline. Because I think if we can grasp that bigger picture, then our view and our approach to parenting will totally shift. It will totally change. So have you ever been around a child who is completely out of control? Exclude your children, because I know, like our own children, they're out of control at times. But I want you to think about another child that you've been around that was completely out of control. Was it fun to be around that child? No. It's miserable. It's chaos. And really, it's a lot of times even dangerous, right? Are you able to have a relationship with that child? Mm-mm. Nobody wants to have a relationship with the out-of-control child. And so we can see that just practically, from a practical sense, discipline is necessary. Just for the fact that we really want to raise children who are kind and well-behaved and contributors to society rather than the little tornado that nobody wants to have around, right? And I think that that drives a lot of our parenting. But if we look at the Bible as a whole, the purpose of discipline is much, much more than just creating good kids. The purpose of discipline, the purpose of all discipline that you see in the Bible, the purpose of the whole story of the Bible, I've already said it once, but I want to say it again, it's to point us back to Jesus. To point us back to our need for a Savior and to restore that relationship with Him that was broken. But here's the rub. And this is really the crux for setting the whole foundation of this study. So I want to make sure we understand this. Our culture and our flesh, they believe that we're just inherently good. Right? They don't want to believe that we fall short. We don't want to believe on the inside that we have a need for something other than ourselves. And if that's true, if we are actually good, then we don't need discipline, right? Because discipline is there to point out your shortcomings, to point out your mistakes, to point out where you're off course. And if we're good and we're not off course, we're doing everything great, then who needs discipline? And so that's what our culture is speaking to us today about parenting even. Don't tell your kid no. Just like show them a different way. And eventually they'll get it. They'll quit doing that the thing that you don't want them to do. We don't admit that we have a need for something bigger than ourselves. And so discipline, we've got to remember that that goal of discipline is to point us to our need for Jesus. And so if we want to discipline our kids in the way that God says we should, then we need to take that biblical model of discipline that points us to Jesus, and we need to use that in our parenting. We need to apply that principle in our parenting. So the goal of our discipline, following that biblical model, should be to point our kids to their need for Jesus. Now, you may be saying, especially like this table over here that has a lot of strollers, you may be saying, man, I've just got a kid who, like, I'm trying to get him to actually eat food off of the tray instead of throw it on the floor. And so you want me to look at him and say, the reason you're throwing your food on the floor is because you need Jesus. No. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I want you to realize is that these daily interactions of correcting your child, of showing them where they're off course, teaching them how to receive correction, all while maintaining a loving relationship with them, is teaching them. It's helping to create a fertile environment for them one day to be open to the correction of Jesus. You are preparing their hearts. Because you're slowly teaching them that they're not perfect. That sometimes they do the wrong thing, either by accident or on purpose. And whether you realize it or not, you are teaching them and you're preparing them for their hearts to be open to a relationship with Jesus, because they're learning and understanding the pattern of what it takes to come to Him. Admitting your sin first. Second, confessing it. Third, asking for forgiveness. And then finally, being restored back to relationship. That's the process that Jesus invites us into to have a relationship with Him. And so as you're teaching your kids this pattern, you're correcting them, you're teaching them to receive correction. One day they're going to come to a place where God shows them their heart. And He shows them that not only what you do is wrong, who you are is sinful nature. I can't have a relationship with you. And so if you've modeled this with them and you've practiced this with them, then when they look to Jesus for that, it becomes much easier for them to understand what he offers and then to receive that correction, forgiveness, and restoration from him. Are you with me? Does that make sense to you? Now, please don't misunderstand me. Here's what I'm not saying, okay? I'm not saying that you can have this formula of A plus B equals C. And if I correct my kids and I discipline them in a loving way and I do everything right, that I'm guaranteeing an outcome for my children. You older moms in here, I mean, you agree with me? Can I get an amen that, like, parenting does not guarantee the outcome? We can set an environment for our children, but God does the work. Only he does that work. But he has given us a part to play. He's given us an influence in our children's lives. He's made us the instrument that he uses to woo them to himself. And so as parents, we need to realize the weight and the importance of discipline. It's not about creating well-behaved citizens, good kids. Now, that many times can be the byproduct of good, proper, loving discipline. But the goal, biblically, is that we're creating a heart that is eventually receptive to God's discipline. And I think we get tripped up on that word, discipline. And that's what you're going to talk about in your small groups today. The difference between discipline and punishment. And I hope that that kind of brings this full circle and gives you a new perspective on that word discipline, because I want us to see what Scripture has to say about it. Proverbs 13:24 says, "The one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." And then Revelation 3:19 says this, "God says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." Well, why? Because he doesn't want us to do the wrong thing? Well, yeah, that's part of it. But it's because he wants us to have relationship with him. He wants us to have life that comes only from him. And so Proverbs 10:17 tells us, discipline shows the way to life. Discipline shows the way to life. I think in our day-to-day lives, especially in the Bible Belt, and a lot of times even in the church, we get so focused on staying away from sin. We get so focused on behaving correctly and doing the right thing, and we forget about the why behind it. And so I hope it excites you and motivates you even, and helps you see your parenting in a new way, that instead of just focusing on eliminating all your child's bad behavior, that you have a chance, moment after moment, day after day, in those days where you're exhausted with correction, when you're exhausted with the behavior, that instead you see it as just another chance to point your child towards Jesus, to prepare their hearts to be receptive to him one day. To help shape their hearts. I mean, what an honor and privilege and unique opportunity that is. So how do we do this? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. And we're going to get more specific, and we're going to break this down and really get into the nitty-gritty, where the rubber meets the road. But today, we're going to stay a little bit big picture. And so we named this study Love and Discipline because in order to move from that why behind discipline, the reason that we should discipline our kids, we have to know the tools that we can use. And so those tools are two things, love and discipline. Correction, if you want to word it that way. And neither works alone. They have to go together. I want you to think back to your playground days, okay? Some of us have to think farther than others, but I'll try really hard. Think back to your playground days. Remember the seesaw? I used to love the seesaw because it's just kind of a magical feeling a little bit. And so you and a friend, we would run out on the playground and we'd see the seesaw, run over and jump on, and you start going, right? With both of you on there. And then inevitably it wouldn't take very long and my friend would see the swings or she would see another friend and she'd jump off. And what happens? Like brain rattling thud, right? Knock some of your teeth out. And so I would be sitting there on the seesaw and you're just stuck sitting on the ground. And I remember trying to like jump. Maybe I can push hard enough and make it work. Have you ever done that? Come on, be honest. Yeah. But it doesn't work. Because a seesaw is really fun when it's balanced. But when it's not balanced, it's not so fun anymore. It doesn't work. And so I want you to picture your parenting like that, like this seesaw with love on one end and discipline on the other. It only works if they're balanced. If we get too heavy on one end, then we hit the ground with that thud and things aren't working anymore. We have to use both together in a balanced way. So that sounds pretty easy, right? Love, discipline, balance them out, boom, perfect parenting. But we all know that it doesn't quite work like that. And so why is that? What makes parenting so hard? What trips us up? What gets us out of balance? And I think there are three things that prevent us from having love and discipline in balance. And I told you there have been some repeated themes that I've been hearing lately. And if you were here on Sunday and you listened to Ben Parkinson preach, if you go to fellowship, he talked about these exact things. He talked about discipline versus punishment. And I was like, dude, you're stealing my thunder. Like, stop. But those are the times when I realized, hey, God is speaking. God is trying to teach us something. So here's the three things that I think get us out of balance. Pride, control, and fear. Pride, control, and fear. And any of those three things can lead us to being out of balance in our parenting. Let me explain what I mean. When we think about balancing love and discipline, and we let pride creep in, we can shift too heavy to the love side. Because we want our kids to have everything they could possibly want or need. They need to have the best thing so that everyone sees how great our family is. And so we err too much to the side of love. Or maybe our pride needs to see that our kids are behaving perfectly. Because when other people see that our kids are behaving perfectly, they think we must be the perfect parent. And so our pride leads us to over-discipline and be too heavy on the discipline side. What about control? Anybody know about being controlling? When things are chaotic, when things seem out of control sometimes with our kids, what do? Everybody come here. We're about to clean the house. We're about to clean the garage. We're about to dust your room from head to toe. We're about to do all these things, right? And we over-discipline. You're grounded from your phone. You're grounded from TV. You can't go out with your friends. Whatever your consequences are, you start doling them out. Over-disciplining to try to regain some sense of control. But also, we can try to control the relationship with our kids. And we can use our love and we can use things as a way to try to manipulate them, to try to maintain a loving relationship with them and control that. And so we overlove. And then fear. Anybody? I mean, we probably don't even really need to talk about this one yet. We could talk about this all day, right? Moms and fear, it's just like they go together. And so sometimes we can fear that our kids are not going to like us or they might have to suffer suffer uncomfortable consequences. And so we shy away from discipline and we lean too far towards love. Or we fear that our kids might make a mistake. They might have a behavior that is wrong. They might do the wrong thing, and so we err too far towards discipline because we're afraid of what could happen. My point is that each of these things creep in and they get us out of balance. And the reason that this happens is because we're focused on ourselves. And so I want you to think there's a part of the seesaw that we haven't really talked about. We've talked about being on either end and balancing it. But I want you to picture a seesaw in your mind. The whole way a seesaw works is it has a center point. Right? Can you picture that? And that center point is where the whole seesaw rests. It's what the seesaw balances on. Everything hinges around that center point. And when we put ourselves in the center, it doesn't work. But when we put Jesus in the center, when we build our lives on top of Him, when everything we do hinges on our relationship with Him, then we can bring in love and discipline. And we're able to find a balance of the two through God's wisdom, through His power and His love in us. So pride, control, and fear, a question that I just want you to be asking yourselves throughout your day as we go through this study, as you parent your children, what am I operating out of? What am I operating out of? Am I erring too heavy towards love? Am I swinging too far towards discipline? And then why? Because you can probably boil it down to one of those three things. Sometimes they're hard to recognize. Sometimes we can justify them. Or we can just be blind to them. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to take just a moment. And I'd like for you to just close your eyes for a second. And I'm just going to give you 10 or 15 seconds of just saying before the Lord, God, what am I operating out of? What's my center? Do I have myself in the center? Or do I have you in the center? Ask Him to show you those things, to open your eyes, and then ask Him to move back and be the center of your life. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the wisdom that you've given us in your word, God, that relates to our everyday lives. It relates in ways that we can use it, God. God, would you just come back and be the center of our lives? Think about the center of a seesaw and how it bears a lot of weight. But it's able to hold that up. It's able to make the rest of that seesaw work. God, would that be true in our lives? Would we center ourselves on you, knowing that you can support the weight of our lives, the weight of our circumstances, the weight of parenting, the weight of our marriages? And then would you give us the strength, God, to balance love and discipline as we parent our children, just the way that you have parented us? And would you help us to never forget, God, that our goal is to point our own hearts and to point our children's hearts back to our need for you and back to relationship with you, God. I thank you for these women. Would you be with us as we go today? In Jesus' name, amen.